Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Happy Friday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. John Jones.
John was teasing me one time. Saw a video that he made.
Did I say John Jones in a funny way? John Jones. And the rankings committee struck again was the headline. I clicked on this bloody elbow. And the rankings come out, right? Tuesday mornings, it's hot off the presses. John Jones, number two. Islam Makhachev, number one. Let's look at that for a minute. It's actually an interesting philosophical debate. And what pound for pound is supposed to mean, and I had a debate on this. I had a public debate many years ago with Dominic Cruz. We did it live on the air. And Dominic laid out what you needed to do to be qualified for pound for pound. And it was kind of Dominic's list. Made good sense. But I've heard other people also lay out the criterion for pound and for what it means. And that is the point where I have to correct you. There is something in literature known as poetic license. And a poetic license goes to the author of the statement and the original author of the phrase pound for pound was a boxing writer out of Brooklyn in the late 70s, and he identified what pound for pound meant, and he's the one that coined it. So I believe that we must default to him, and his entire stance is if you took size out of it, if you're watching somebody, you observe the skills, you take size out of it completely, who could beat everybody else? So now when we come into MMA, we largely look for who is the most dynamic. But we do get reminded over time. Khabib has reminded us. Islam has reminded us. Merab has reminded us that being the most dynamic and having the most versatile skill set does not necessarily trump being a specialist in one area if that specialty can overwhelm. So it is impossible to watch John, a national collegiate wrestling champion. John is the most decorated wrestler on the card that night, not counting Bo Nickel, and he now replaces Weidman when Weidman had to come off the card. John was a national champion for the junior college, the highest level that he could reach. John was actually recruited by Iowa State head coach Cale Sanderson. And John ended up leaving college and began training in MMA. But I'm only sharing for you, like, he really is a very decorated wrestler, and he only had one takedown. And by the way, it was sloppy. The takedown that John used to take Stipe down is not a takedown that anybody in any wrestling match in the history of the world has ever used. So if we were to remove the wrestling, we're now looking at one of the great kickboxers in the entire division, who, by the way, is very skilled on the ground. I mean, it really is a phenomenal thing to look at. And I'm sitting right outside, guys. I'm in the car. I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to be in Ariel's studio. And Ariel and I are likely to debate this very topic. But we've already had the debate one time. And Ariel did not go with John. In fact, he was emphatic that it cannot be John. And not anything to do with John's skills. Ariel maintained that because John has not fought in 3 years, this is prior to this fight, because he has not fought in 3 years, aside from whatever that was with Surreal, that he is disqualified from being amongst the rankings of the greatest today because he is not fighting today. Interesting debate. You can't totally dismiss that. I mean, we take titles and championships off of guys all the time if they are not active. So how can we bestow a title upon somebody who's not active? It was a fair debate. But if you look at the actual skills, and here's a litmus test I love to do. All right. Okay, so we're down to Islam and John. Islam or John, one of those two is going to be pound for pound best. All right. Before you look at the punches and the kicks and the records and the championships, let me ask you a different question. You have a son, and your son is just about to walk into the cage. But you have a magic wand where you can give your son the skills of John Jones or the skills of Islam. And whichever one you give your son the skills, he's going to get in the cage and he's going to fight the other one. And if you begin to answer that question very honestly, you will at a minimum have an objective personalized list for GOAT. But I want to read the comments and I want to hear what you have to say. If you were in that situation, your son was going to walk in the ring and you could either make him the skills of John or the skills of Islam, and then he's going to go in the ring and fight the one you didn't choose, which do you choose for your son? Rakhmonov versus Ian Gary. Final pay-per-view of the year. The kids call it 310 out in Las Vegas. And this thing, I mean, I'm bringing you day old bread here, right? But I thought it was a title fight for one. I thought it was a title fight and that kind of bothered me. We don't generally interim something. We generally would show grace is what I'm saying. So, and I'm talking about towards, in this case, Law. So I like that it's not an interim title fight. And it would go without saying that is a number one contenders match. I don't know if we've ever had a number one contenders match that goes without saying. You have the two guys with the most beautiful records in the sport. The most beautiful in the sport. Will you put Gary in that conversation? Is he 15-0 at this point? Rakhmonov 19-0 all finishes. That's crazy. What a great job. And get those guys together, but I am a little bit surprised that we were able to get those guys together because you're going to succeed at doing one thing. You're going to eliminate one of them, right? You got these beautiful and the, oh, must go, but those are guys that can both fight for titles. But if you put them in there together, you cost yourself a title fight. And so it's just something under a normal circumstance that wouldn't happen. Now I'm praising the situation. I'm bringing this to other young fighters. Young fighters are out there. How do I get in the UFC? The number one way is the number one way to do anything in life. Be willing to do something that other people are not willing to do. There is no better way to get a job anywhere than to be willing to do something that other people are not willing to do. And there's more that goes into that than just an attitude and raising your hand. There's also a physical side, particularly in this sport, where you've got to be ready. You've got to be within striking distance to make the weight class, for example. But Shavkat Rakhmonov has a meaningful advantage here, and it's in one regard. He was planning to fight five rounds. Ian Gary was not planning to fight five rounds. So there's enough time, but there's just enough time. And I'm bringing that to your attention moreover because we've got a five round co-main event that is the feature match, right? That's the moneymaker. I thought it was the main event. And it's not a main event or a title fight. What the hell is it doing five rounds? And we're seeing more and more of this. Now, I will tell you what, I don't like it. I love the fight. I don't like that a non-title fight, non-main event, at times is five rounds. I wouldn't mind if they were all five rounds. What I'm saying is I don't like not knowing. And I used to be able to know. And it would even affect my predictions, right? Nobody's more consistent with their predictions than me, but my prediction will change fight to fight if it's three rounds versus five rounds. Ian Gary is a very live dog in a three-round fight. Five-round changes the scenario completely, right? You got basic math under a 10-9 must system, but I'm just bringing to your attention that I shouldn't have to read the fine print. I should be able to say, is it for an interim title? No. Is it the main event? No. And now I know it's a 15-minute contest. Or we switch it completely. And I only have one big problem with five-round fights, which is, in the Super Bowl, we don't play five quarters. In the Olympic gold medal match for a 100-yard sprint. We don't make it 102 yards, right? No game is played differently for a title than it is played for every other game. And that bothers me. I just think it's weird. I'm bothered by it because I don't overly enjoy having to explain it to people. Basketball in the championship game, it's not worth 4 points a basket. Free throws are worth 2 points. It's the same. It's got to be the same. So I've proven my point on that. I'm just sharing with you. Are we starting to see a trend? Is this switched over? Is it switched over to the extent that we can ask Dana, hey, look, are all co-main events now 5 rounds? Are all number one contenders matches 5 rounds? Is there anything that we can hang our hat on to understand the rules and procedures administratively and otherwise? If it's a number one contendership match, if that's the reason why, then how can you win a 3-round fight as evidence that you should be the top draw for a 5-round fight? If that is why, should we also have them make scratch weight? And I'm wondering how we got here. We got here originally, and this is off of my memory, but the first time that we ever saw this was Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. And it was such a good fight, and it was such a big fight, that we decided to make it our 5-round fight. And you got to pay enough money for Nate Diaz that if you need him for another 10 minutes to make this thing pencil, the rest of us understand and we're happy to kick in, right? Am I speaking for all of us? Sure, we'll do that for Nate. But then it started happening again and again. And it's like anything when you have a precedence. But I do like structure. I need structure. I need an area of structure. I got to tell you, I'm struggling with this whole idea that Tom Aspinall is the interim champion in the presence of John Jones, because they introduced John Jones as the undisputed champion. They said that's what we were fighting for. That's what they called him at the end of the night. That's what he believes he is right now. You're not undisputed if there's an interim champion. That's exactly what disputed versus undisputed means. And I'm only hanging my hat on that is because at some point there has to be structure. If something doesn't mean anything, then nothing means anything. I don't want to make an overly big deal about it. I just want to bring it to your attention. And I'm asking why, because there could be a reason that just hasn't been stated or that I have missed. And perhaps this is what we're going to do with all perceived number one contenders matches. But how far is that going to go? Because it's not just the company's decision or the athlete's agreement. You have a governing body known as the commission that then has to oversee those kinds of things. So are we just doing this for any fight we like? Are we just doing this because we think our main event is so weak? Are we doing this because they're number one contenders? Are we doing it because we want to get Rachmaninoff as close to what we promised Rachmaninoff? And if we've got a different opponent, we don't have the belt, we're going to keep it the same round. I can live with all of it. But I think that you guys would agree with me. There's nothing wrong with me wanting to know. Guys, I'm having a great night. I'm back on the car. I'm in New York. And I have had one heck of a New York experience. I am not a New York guy, right? I'm a country boy turned gangster. But New York, a bunch of fake gangsters, you know? And you'll understand this someday, but everybody's a gangster until a gangster walks into the room. I gotta just tell you, New York. But here's what happened to me. I came out because I was invited to an event for Teddy Atlas. By the way, I'm with my buddy Devin. I'm performing for Devin. Devin's from New York, born and raised. And so I'm in the back seat just stabbing his city in the back. I was trying to get a laugh out of him. All right. Here's the thing. Got invited by Teddy Atlas. Teddy has a fundraiser. He's got a foundation. And he's the best, man. If you ever meet Teddy Atlas, talk to guys that know Teddy behind Teddy's back. They will all say the same thing. He's the best. That's the exact word they would use. Not he's great. He's nice. He's the best. And he does this foundation. And he'll just help a kid. It doesn't go any further than that. You're a kid. You need help. Foundation helps you. There was a kid last year who wanted to play basketball. And he kind of played in the neighborhood, but you know, but he got into school. I want to say he was going to be a seventh grader. He got to school where it's going to be organized for the first time. And he wanted to play, and he had some skills, but he didn't have any shoes. Could you imagine? Have you ever been in that spot? You ever grew up a poor kid? And Teddy got him some shoes. Real simple, right? But how many kids like that are out there that could use a pair of shoes? They could use a wrestling singlet. You know, put it in my terms, they would love to go to wrestling practice, but they don't have the shoes. They don't have a pair of shorts to wear. So great things like this, all the way up to much bigger things. You know, kids in need and has to get to a certain hospital for a transplant. I mean, there's some very, all the big stuff too, but I got invited to this event, so I'm headed out to it. And I'm going out here, and this is on the back end of doing Ariel's program. And that was 2 days ago, but I was really impressed with what Ariel has going on. I was teasing him when he started this, but I was teasing him in the spirit of like guerrilla marketing. He goes with Google and he starts a vertical. I have the foggiest idea what a vertical is. I'm a smart enough guy. I work in production. I own a production company. I don't know what a vertical is. So I start asking him that on social media, but it's not really a way to just educate me on what a vertical is. It's also a way to get a back and forth on social media, which is doubling as an advertisement, trying to help Ariel. But instead of him understanding that, he decided to be mean to me and tease me for not knowing what a vertical was. At any rate, I got into his studios and I was rather excited. I wanted to see the Google studios. And Ariel had a great thing going over at Vox. I would always tease him because he was in the basement and things like that. He had a beautiful studio and he had some wonderful people with him. But this deal at Google, man, it's a whole other game. There was no way for Ariel to look at the two offers or the two situations and not go with Google. So I get to the most beautiful set. Oh my goodness. You wouldn't believe how nice it is. And the building I went through, and my mother was in town. I got sick when I was out here. I gotta say, I was on FaceTime with my mom. I said, "Mom, hold on, I'm not feeling well." So anyway, she gets on a plane, she comes out here. So we go together. And they got you in like this green room. Green room is an expression. Like the room doesn't have to be green. I don't really know where the expression came from. But it just means where if you're going to go on and do a show, it could be radio or it could be videoed, and it could be a vertical, apparently. It's the room that you'll wait in before you go into the studio. But there's varying degrees. You walk into one at Fox or ESPN and there'll be a spread in the back. You'll get a plate of food and build your own sandwich. And man, this green room that Google had, there is not a close second. It's not, "Oh, maybe that was the nicest one I've ever been in." No, there's not even a close second. It was unbelievable. And that's before they bring me to Helwani. Now, I dragged the story along, but there's something going on in this industry that I don't know about, and I do not like that. They used to call me the nose. They would tease me, "Oh, you got to know everybody's business." It's true. Go ahead and tease. I have to know. If you're doing something, I have to know what you're doing. If Damon's doing something, I have to know what he's doing. I have to know everything. I'm very curious like that. And on the back end of me on Ariel, they bring in Mikey Muccini. That is not Mikey Muccini. That's still, I'm really close. Well, it turns out like Mikey's the sweetest guy ever. And how often can you say that about a combat athlete like that? You call him a sweet guy. How often do you meet a sweet guy? This young man was so polite. He was so polite, and he treated Ariel and I with such incredible respect that if his mother ever sees this, I hope she knows she did a great job. But Mikey signed with the UFC, and Mikey is the ONE FC champion, and they just wouldn't ever let him go. I mean, that just would not happen. ONE FC, their grappling, which I wish they would get credit for. I really do wish the Fighters Only World MMA Awards would do a recognition to what ONE championship has done with and for grappling. But if I was to set that aside, I'm sharing with you that I'm missing some pieces here. Mikey is their champion and he gets paid really well and he competes pretty often. He's in a wildly unique situation. There's only a handful of grapplers that can make it in grappling. Craig Jones, if he can stay consistent, we'll add a couple of more to that list. But the opportunities are scarce. and Mikey's their champion. And I watch one championship, but I watch it heavily to watch Mikey compete. And Mikey said that he has signed with the UFC, but he signed with the UFC for grappling. Now, I can't connect these two. I don't know what I'm missing or what piece of this is missing. I, of course, would assume this is for Fight Pass. Now, Fight Pass has the Invitational, which is a great event. Nicky Rod and Gordon Ryan, just for perspective for you guys. George St. Pierre. Do you guys remember this? George St. Pierre, was it a year ago, or the way time's flown, it was even 2 years ago? It was December. I think it was December of last year, but George St. Pierre had signed to grapple, and there was all sorts of opponents out there. There was even a rumor of a $5 million offer to Khabib, and that was nothing more than a rumor, but there was an offer to Khabib, and you're not getting George without a shiny nickel in your pocket. And George isn't doing anything unless George puts himself in a position to win. It's got nothing to do with the opponent. George will take on anybody. But he knows what he needs to do to be ready to compete. And I'm talking about diets and training camps and specific breakdowns of a specific opponent. We never got revealed to us who that opponent was going to be. And there was talk that it was going to be Nick Diaz. And it is true that Khabib was the first choice. And I think it was going to land on Kamaru Usman. And I bring it to you because I want to give you perspective on the UFC Invitational. And I don't know exactly who runs that. I believe it's Stephen Teshi. And I know it would go through Teshi, but I hope it's Teshi. Because you can count on him. Above everything else, you can count on him. And in this industry, number one thing is do say. You got to do what you say you're going to do. I share that with you because are they getting ready to make a bigger move? And what would that move be? What would that be? They're already on a wonderful platform. It's a beautiful show. They host that at the Apex. They put it in an octagon. I'm checking all the boxes. What in the hell is it that they're going to be? And do not think for a second that Chachere is just going to let Mikey go. Chachere treated Mikey wonderfully. Chachere really liked Mikey. Not to mention, Chachere really believes in grappling. So it's not as though he's letting that go. And I mean, if grappling could ever get into a spot where you got two juggernauts, like ONE Championship, like UFC, fighting back and forth. I tried to get this going at Bellator, by the way. Now, it was this close. Where Scott Coker had a real interest, but he wanted to do it digitally. And, you know, like anything, you know, you get some ideas and some of them come through and not. And Coker ended up having a real presence digitally, but not enough where he wanted to do a live event. But I'm only sharing that with you because imagine what would happen. I like when something good happens to the grapplers. I like that Jason Nolf, who is the best grappler, or at least you're not going to find a better grappler in America today. You find some equals, but you're not going to find one better. And I like that he can leave wrestling, of which just Olympic Games. He's got one more of those in him. As a human being, he could have two physically. It's not enough to put your life on hold 8 years for two competitions. It's not enough. I'm just using Jason Nolf as an example because thanks to Craig Jones, thanks to Abu Dhabi, there's other options. But is Dana now providing, right? This is the power of competition. It will change that sport. And the sport of MMA largely exists because of grappling. It was brought to us. It was founded. It was put on display by the Gracie family, who were grapplers. It's a really great thing, guys, but I'm missing something. There's something here. There's some piece that I... How did Mikey get free? Did Chachere let him go? Did he fight out his contract? People like Chachere. They wouldn't leave. There had to be a group effort where Chachere looked at something and said, hey, this could be best. I'm just curious what that was. I'm curious what that is. I'm curious what Dana has in plan. Am I right? Is it the Invitational? Is it something new? Why would it be new if you're already at the Invitational? Is it coming off a Fight Pass? Where would it go if it came off a Fight Pass? Why'd they sign Mikey? What is it that I don't know? Any athlete who competes at the highest level will tell you the importance of having solid teammates and dedicated coaches. It is an absolute necessity to have a team that pushes and challenges day to day in order to continue improving and developing if you want to be a champion. The same goes with your e-commerce business. You need Shopify to be that teammate who helps you get to the top and stay there. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. I've heard it said, success occurs when opportunity meets preparation. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are, scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, on a social feed, and anywhere else in between. Upgrade your business today and get the same checkout Bad Guy Inc. uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chale, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/chale to level up your selling today. shopify.com/chale. Ever start your day feeling like you're dragging your feet before you even step out of bed? Most cream powders taste like lawn clippings and barely give you the boost that you need. But not Morning Man Greens. Morning Man Greens is the ultimate morning fuel. It's packed with 95 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea and coffee bean extracts, plus over 75 vitamins, superfoods, probiotics, and digestive enzymes to power you up and to improve gut health. And if caffeine isn't your style, don't worry. It's available in decaf too, so you can choose how you start your day. Unlike those other green powders, Morning Man Greens actually tastes amazing. It's got rave reviews from thousands of satisfied customers who have ditched their old routines for this game changer. I personally felt the difference right away, and I'm talking about on my first try. It stopped me from having sluggish starts, no awful aftertaste, and no energy crashes. It's just pure sustained energy all day long. I want to tell you about something, because this is only going to be for a limited time. Morning Man Greens is offering my listeners an exclusive 20% discount. Just head over to morningman.com/chale. Use the promo code CHALE20 at checkout. That's morningman.com/chale. When you get to checkout, make sure you use the code CHALE20. That's going to get me a little bit of credit, and that's going to get you a 20% savings. I want you to start dominating your mornings with Morning Man Greens.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, guys, I just got done. I'm just leaving a foundation fundraising event for Teddy Atlas Foundation. And it was awesome, man. Oh my goodness. They had these three women in there called the Black Angels. You've heard of that? The Black Angels was a group of women that were called to action during the tuberculosis pandemic in the 1950s. And they all went, they made a pact, they were gonna do this, they're gonna help other people. And by the way, they knew surrounding themselves with people with tuberculosis was probably going to cost them their life, but they did it anyway. And of all the Black Angels, three of these ladies are still with us, and they came tonight. And that was just cool. And I get up there, and I had an unfortunate run-in with a tub of guts named Larry Holmes. Now, I'm looking to give Larry a pass because he's fried eggs. He was fried eggs back in the 80s when he mattered. You know what? I'm giving this a second thought. I'm gonna let old Larry slide. I'm just gonna move on to the story. I did see somebody else though. I'm trying to impress you with a name drop, okay? And you guys know I will name drop. But I'm from West Lynn. We don't have, right? If I meet somebody in real life that's been on the radio or they were on TV or something, you know, that's a big deal. That's a big deal for me. So I'm in line. I'm visiting with Ray Longo. Everything's going great. And Ray's got a guy with him. This dude's a hammer, 125-pounder. I gotta save his name. There might be some news coming out on him. This guy's got like three belts of three different organizations. Everybody in the world wants him except the UFC. And when it, you know, that's where he would like to be. So we're visiting about that. And that's a very common problem. Like that has happened to a number of guys that go, hey man, I've done everything right. Everything I've been told to do. Do you have any advice for me? And first off, if you're the kind of guy that will meet a stranger, in this case, Chael, in line at an event, bring that up and then make the ask of, will you help me? The answer to that 100% of the time is yes. Yes, I will help you. 100% of the time, but you'd be stunned how few people ask. And he told me, he said, man, I'm just not into talking trash. That's just, it's, I'm undefeated. I want to say it was 9. I think it was 9-0. He said, you know, I'm doing the stuff. I'm paying the price. He's a top training partner for Aljamain Sterling. Aljo's world champion and defending world championships. And he just said, you know, I didn't really embrace that. And now here I am into my career. Can you give me some advice? So we're visiting. And I said to Coach Longo, we're behind this guy. And this guy's got a hat on. So the guy's kind of hard to recognize, but he looks good. He's a tall glass of water. He's real lean and fit. And then telling his age is difficult, man. He could have been 45. He could have been 75. You know, guys like that look real good. So I said, Coach, who is that? Who's this guy right here with the hat on? Guys, it was Michael Spinks. The last time I have seen Michael Spinks in a modern day situation was the 93 seconds that he and Mike Tyson were in the ring together. I was a sixth grader in Miss Iris's class at Wood Middle School when that fight took place. And 93 seconds. So I see the man, and this is not a big man. Now, Mike Tyson was not a big man. Mike Tyson in his prime, at heavyweight, fighting guys up to the 285-pound limit. Mike Tyson weighed 220 pounds, but Spinks wasn't much. Spinks was right there. He was that 217, 218 back then, and it was kind of cool to see him. You know, Spinks had won everything you could win. A lot of people thought Spinks was going to win that fight. Just remind you from an amateur standpoint, Spinks was our Olympian. Leon Spinks won the Olympic gold medal. I don't know that Michael Spinks did, but I think he did. I think Michael and Leon had both won it. Mike had made the team. It was a big fight at the time. It had generated more money than any fight at the time. At the time, remember, it was the biggest boxing fight of all time, and that was true. And then not long after that, the biggest boxing fights is whoever lies the loudest, whoever lies the most. Like, there has never been anybody to ever confirm whether it was Connor and Floyd, which begged for a rematch, and they didn't get one. Gee, I wonder why, because the numbers were bull. Whether it was Floyd and Manny, where the numbers were complete lies. If you want to be the biggest boxing fight of all time, they'll put you on SportsCenter. All you got to do is get to the top of Google, and all you got to do to get to the top of Google is put out a bigger lie than the person that lied before you. But at one point in time, Tyson versus Spinks was the biggest fight. So when I tell you I haven't seen Spinks since, I have read articles on Spinks. And it wasn't that many years ago, I read an article and it even showed him back from his amateur days at the Olympic Games. But these were old photos. Even if I've seen them recently, they were old photos. I have not seen anything modern day. Spinks is one guy that he was undefeated. Maybe I'm taking for granted you guys know about the Tyson fight. He was a champion. He moved up a weight class. Tyson was the champion of the weight class. Tyson had not lost at that point in his career ever professionally. Spinks had not lost. Somebody's must go, that whole thing, and that storyline never doesn't work. Tyson put him down and finished the fight in the first round, but he put him down a total of 3 times. The man that had never lost, had never been knocked out, got put down 3 times. Don't forget, you know, you're getting standing 8 counts. A standing 8 count is good for 13 seconds. Right, when you finally get counted out at 10, you've been out for about 13 and a half, 14 seconds. He was down 3 times, got these counts, and the whole match still only lasted 91 seconds. Now, I don't tease him for that. This was a crowning moment. By the way, he walked away. He never even told anybody goodbye. And I thought it was a very cool thing to do. Rico Rodriguez did that in MMA. Sean Sherk, to this day, hasn't told anyone he's leaving. Sean Sherk walked out that door. He started a business in Minnesota. If I ever do anything in Minnesota and I could patron that business, I would love to do it. I just did visit with Sean. Awesome guy. Cut weight with him in the sauna before. He just said goodbye. Or I apologize. He just left. He didn't even say goodbye. Sean Sherk. It was great. But it was the same thing with Michael Spinks. He didn't tell anybody goodbye. And anyway, I guess I figured you guys might want a little bit of an update. I saw him tonight. He looked good. Larry Holmes, by the way, don't be upset with Larry. He's a big tub of guts. What difference does it make, right? We can put Larry at the head table. We can honor Larry. He doesn't know his name is Larry. I could have him play second base for the Yankees. Here, Larry, just go sit down there. I'd tell people, hey, as you run around, step on him. What difference would it make? He wouldn't know. So I can't really be upset that he was rude to old Chael. Or can I? Minute, guys. I did not bring to you Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, and I didn't really dig into that. And everything is so clear in hindsight, right? All of life. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, you knew it was going to happen. Did you bet on it? If you did not bet on it, do not come and ever tell anyone ever you knew it was going to happen. Even if you thought it. Shut up. You're annoying. I knew this was going to happen. No, I really did. I knew this was going to happen. And I didn't bet on it, but I didn't bet on it because it felt like the fix was in. There is nothing that Jake Paul can do where we do not question ahead of time, during, and after. And it is so unfair. I mean, if anybody has come into a dirty, filthy industry like this one and told us the truth, it's Jake Paul. Jake Paul is man of the year for boxing. He was man of the year last year. Jake Paul promoted this event, did record numbers, got an entire distribution network known as Netflix to believe in him, got a partner in Mike Tyson. But one thing that Jake Paul does, he gets up in the loft, but he doesn't pull the ladder up behind him. He always leaves the ladder down so someone else can get up. I mean, yeah, I'm going to Katie and I'm going to Amanda. The greatest fight I've ever seen in women's, and then you can stop right there. MMA and combat and judo. I followed all that stuff. Followed Kayla through the Olympic Games and followed Ronda's run before that. I followed Sarah McMahon to her medal before that. Sarah Hildebrandt this year. Oh gosh, good names. And I never seen anything like this. Followed all of Layla Ali's fights. My daughter's middle name is Layla, named after the beautiful and wonderful Layla Ali. I feel like I'm thinking right now. I'm trying to buy myself some time because, yeah, it's a literal statement. I've never seen a fight like this. And I'm using that word specifically, fight. And they got put on display. That is the most heavily watched women's boxing match of all time. World record. They got it wrong. They robbed poor Amanda. That's a different story. Robbed her two different ways. Even without the point deduction, she won that fight. With the point deduction, we have nothing to talk about here. It's a formality. Jump in the ring, do the interview, put Helwani in there, get the belt around her, move him out so we can bring in the main event. They took the fight from her. My goodness, they took the fight from her. And you get to the main event. Everything was so clear on the walkout. Tyson stumbled on the walkout. I'm not teasing him. Tyson stumbled on the walkout. And they pull the camera back. And by the way, though, the walkout was very relevant because he looked 30 years older than he did 2 days earlier at Open Media Day. He looked 30 years older than he did the day before on the scale. And sometimes that's lighting, guys, right? Sometimes you get picked up at a different angle and it just happens to be showing your wrinkles. That's true. But I was starting to think, maybe they put makeup on him. You know, for the earlier stuff, very, very common. You'll go into something, you got TV, somebody brings some makeup on you. I mean, there might have been somebody behind the scenes that realized this guy looks old. You can put a 58-year-old in there all day. He just can't look 58, right? I know 26-year-olds that move around like they're 58. Yes, Keith Jardine. I'm talking about you, but Keith. I said to be funny towards Keith, but I will tell you, is that what happened? Because that's kind of interesting to me. When Mike Tyson walked through that tunnel and he stumbled, everything became so blatantly obvious. They pull the camera back. He's wearing a knee pad. In my life, I've never seen that. I'm sure it's happened. I have never seen a boxer wear a knee pad. Not in practice, not in training, not on the heavy bag in his garage, not ever, ever, ever. And the announcers didn't touch it. That was weird. The fact that the announcers never said anything about the stumble or the knee pad. And you can let the stumble go. You should. The knee pad would just bring a question. It would be simple. There's nothing inappropriate about it. There's nothing against the commission. There's nothing against the rules. We let guys fight with hurt knees all the time. I'm sharing with you in an upright posture of boxing. I've never seen it. And I don't think they have either, but they didn't touch on it. And that's what made it suspicious. The whole reason that it stood out as, hey, there's more to this, is the fact that they ignored it like it wasn't happening. And I do wonder about the makeup. In all fairness, and no conspiracy here. I'm just sharing with you that that would be interesting. If there was somebody that realized Mike looks old and we need to make him look young, that's TV 101. But is that what they did? Why did he look so old in the walkout? Then he gets in there and he goes out and fights. And a combat athlete's biggest fear is not losing. It's not the outcome. It's not anything other than a fear of reaching exhaustion. The combat athlete's biggest fear is that he will fatigue and he can't finish the match. It's every wrestler's biggest fear. Can I get through this? And Mike had that. Mike was scared to death by the parameters of the fight. And he switched over to what we call a moral victory. But he switched over there about 3 minutes and 10 seconds into the fight. He switched to, I do not have the energy, I don't have the skill or the speed to beat this young man, but I got to make it 8 rounds, including if this young man starts to take mercy on me. However I got to do it to get there, it's the best thing that I can get now. Now that I've been confronted with the new information, and that's what you're, every time the guy throws a punch at you, every step that he takes, every round that goes by, every combination that's done, you're downloading and you're processing information. And Mike got the information about the 3 minute mark, which is that I cannot go with this guy and I cannot beat this man. That's when he switched over to the moral victory. And I'm okay with all of those things. I'm just sharing for you that that's what happened, because there's a lot of talk after the fight that it was corrupt or it was set up. There's even a video out there where Mike looks like he has a punch, but he kind of pulls it back. And it's just a misunderstanding. There was no punch that Mike had that he pulled back. He lifted that to do a setup with the complete other arm. And before he threw it, Jake Paul had moved, so he ended up throwing neither arm. And I understand that I lost you on that. There's not very many people that know boxing. Frankly, be glad you don't know boxing. If you know boxing and you spent time in a boxing gym or you even got into a boxing ring, it's because something in life did not go well for you. Every one of them, every dirty, rotten cage fighter had something happen somewhere. So don't feel bad that you don't know boxing. But it's very ridiculous to see two guys in an ass-whipping contest and you, who's never done one or trained it, look at a video that you saw some other jobber do from his mother's basement on TikTok, and he happened to get a dial-up connection and be able to post it to social media. I mean, not for nothing. There was no fix in there. There's nothing corrupt about that. And if you ever think that Mike would go into a work fight, and the most honorable men amongst us will go into a work fight as long as the other guy's working. As long as you're going over, it is your entire goal to get that opponent so rattled before the fight that he doesn't want to do it anymore and that he comes and makes a deal in the back. No different than a kid on recess. But to go and look at Mike's performance and not understand that what you saw in those punches that you didn't see or the power that you thought wasn't there, you are seeing a man who is exhausted. And be careful going around the office or going around the school and telling people this, that you saw this. Because there's someone in every room, and he might not identify himself, but you just identified yourself. And that someone in the room now took you off the board of potential tough guys he's going to have to deal with. If you don't understand the level of exhaustion that Mike was at and why he shut down, it means that you've never so much as stood up, moved your coffee table, and started throwing punches at the air for up to a minute. There is nothing weird about that fight in terms of a corruption. You had Mike Tyson that had two goals. Goal number one, beat Jake Paul. Jake Paul took that goal away from him and pivoted to survival before the second round was over. That's just what happened. And there's nothing inappropriate about it. Whether you like it or not, it's very normal. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And I want to remind you that if you enjoyed this episode, please go over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. You can also submit a 5-star rating over on my Spotify feed. I'm going to be back for more on Tuesday. Enjoy the weekend. And until next week, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.